אנחנו קוראים בספר כתבי בעל הסולם עמוד 386 מאמר מתן תורה אות ה.
We are reading from מתן תורה item 5. You can ask questions as always on kab.tv.
Kabbalists have a problem. They need to explain to the world, to such a ruined world, such a divided world, where everyone is distant from one another, and they're in such processes dating back to ancient history, and they have to explain the matter of eternity and wholeness in nature, and how the upper force above all those instances we see before us, how it rules and it dwells and everything comes from it, and how do we need to reconcile this picture with the beautiful, eternal, whole purpose of everything. It's a problem. Each one has emotional blindness, mental blindness. He doesn't want, he cannot look at reality correctly, cannot be objective, independent. Rather, it's tough. And Baal HaSulam, especially in the article of Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah, is trying somehow to explain to everyone. He's speaking to all of humanity, really. There's no difference for him between these different particles of the general soul. But we have to continue his work and explain to ourselves and to others how much these things are special. And they come from the root, the whole root, where there's no division into nationalities and genders and or species or anything, but it's all in order to disclose the wholeness where we all connect to the whole. It's tough, but we'll continue. Nevertheless, item 5, right?
The article Matan Torah, item 5. We must first understand why the Torah was given specifically to the Israeli nation and not to all the people in the world equally. Is there, God forbid, nationalism involved here? Of course, only an insane person would think so. In fact, our sages have already examined this question, and this is what they meant by their words: the Creator gave it to every nation and tongue, and they did not accept it.
That's what they provided as an excuse, that the Torah was not given specifically to a group called the nation of Israel. It's not a nation, it's a group that was assembled in ancient Babylon around Abraham. And this all belongs to everyone. How does it happen in our time when we accept them as a nation? What does he say?
But what they find bewildering is, why then were we called the chosen people? As it is written, the Lord has chosen you, and so forth. Since no other nation wanted it, moreover, there is a fundamental question in the matter. Can it be that the Creator came with His law in His hands to negotiate with those savage peoples, or through His prophets? Such a thing has never been heard of, and is completely unacceptable.
Meaning, by what do we see that the Creator has chosen a certain people, a group, in order to give it the method of correction, Torah? Why that group and not another?
Item 6. But when we fully understand the essence of the Torah and mitzvot that were given to us, and their desired purpose, to the extent our sages instructed us, which is the purpose of the great creation that is set before our eyes, we will understand everything. The first concept is that there is no act without a purpose. There is no exception from this rule, except for the lowest of the human species or infants. Therefore, it is certain that the Creator, whose exaltedness is inconceivable, would not act, be it a great or a small act, without some purpose. Our sages tell us about that, that the world was created only for the purpose of observing Torah and Mitzvot, meaning, as our sages explained, that the aim of the Creator from the time He created His creation is to reveal His godliness to others. Since the revelation of His godliness reaches the creature as pleasant bounty that is ever growing until it reaches the desired measure. By this, the lowly rise with true recognition and become a Merkava chariot to Him, and to cling unto Him until they reach their final completion. The eye has not seen a God besides you. And because of the greatness and glory of that perfection, the Torah and the prophecy too refrain from uttering even a single word of exaggeration here. As our sages implied about this, all the prophets made their prophecies only for the days of the Messiah. But for the next world, the eye has not seen a God besides you, as is known to the knowledgeable ones.
ומתבטא השלמות הזו בדברי התורה והנבואה, בדברי חז"ל,
This perfection is expressed in the words of the Torah and the prophecy, and in the words of our sages in this simple word, dvekut. Because of the widespread use of this word by the masses, it has lost almost all its content. But if you reflect on that word for even an instant, you will be overwhelmed by its wondrous stature. For if you picture the exaltedness of the Creator and the lowliness of the creature, you will be able to perceive the value of dvekut, of one with the other. Then you will understand why we ascribe that word the purpose of the whole creation. It turns out that the purpose of the whole of creation is for the lowly creatures to be able, by observing Torah and Mitzvot, to rise ever upward, ever developing until they are rewarded with Dvekut, with their Creator.
Nutzvika.
Every time I read, I get mad.
You don't even have vessels to contain these things. You don't have the mind to understand what he's talking about. That's why you're upset. You don't have a vessel of feeling in your feelings to be impressed properly. That's why you get angry. You are upset by your own internal limitations in your mind and in your heart. What can you do? Connect to others. Connect to others as the Torah recommends you do. And then you will see that you have a vessel, a kli, to include, to contain the everything that is written here and open it up wide open in all directions.
But right now you sit and...
Yeah, right now you're limited. No, you're limited, and out of your limitation, you become despaired in your feelings. And in your intellect, you don't understand.
So when I ask you...
That's what it says. Each judges according to his own flaws.
So why were we called a chosen people, can you say? And what were we chosen for?
We were chosen in order to convey this message is Torah, the method of correction, which is that we're all corrupted. We're all Bnei Adam, sons of Adam. We came from the same system that shattered. We're parts of that system. We need to correct ourselves, bring ourselves again to connection, just as it was before the shattering.
And then he says, the Creator has chosen you. What does it mean?
I'll tell you. The broken vessel is awakened by the reforming light, the general reforming light that shines to everyone. But there are parts that awaken more and parts that awaken less. Those that awaken and that were awakened in a certain way during the times of Abraham, we have to learn the development back then, the types of vessels that awakened, the degrees of coarseness, by what kind of reforming light, and so on and so forth. But the bottom line is that they were awakened, and they're called Jews from the word Yehudi, Yichud, unity. They have to reach unity between them. They're called Israel according to the direction, Yashar Kel, straight to the Creator. So, because they were awakened by this reforming light, they received the influence of that light, which is called, which means received Torah. What does it mean received the Torah? Moses comes coming down from the mountain with a book of Torah, as he's often painted.
This is what everyone thinks, that the Torah, and given the Torah.
The fact that everyone is our animals, what can you do?
And then he says that our sages said the world was created for Torah and Mitzvot. What does that mean?
Correction.
Correction is Torah and Mitzvot.
Correction in Mitzvah means tzivui, a commandment, an order to correct each desire you have in order to bestow. And you can do it with a reforming light called Torah. Torah means the force that corrects the ego of men. This is called Torah. To learn Torah or study Torah means to perform various actions in order to draw the reforming light, and then to learn how it influences, how it works, and to learn from that. And anyone who learns the influence of the reforming light, what was before and what is now. Everyone listen up, don't fall asleep. If you learn it now, it's called a wise disciple because he learns from the Creator. The Creator is called wise. What does he learn? He learns what was the state before the correction and the state after the correction. And he learns the stages, how it happens, by what, and so on and so forth. From that, he comes to learn who is he, what is he, how the Creator clothes in him and builds in him the parts that are suitable for the Creator.
So I have to do mitzvot? What is that?
This is the keep. This is called keeping the commandment, mitzvah. I take a broken desire, and using the reforming light, I cause it to go through a restriction, screen, reflected light, zivug daka, the expansion of the light in it, this light, which is called the revelation of the Creator to the creatures. That's what it is. That's it. Okay, take care of yourself.
Rav, who is this people of Israel?
Those who are aimed straight to the Creator, Yeshakel.
We learn that Abraham publicized his method and then people came to him. Did they choose to come to him or they were born with something unique that made them?
The Creator chose you. The Lord has chosen you. The upper light that shines on a person. If a person feels the calling, then he awakens. And that's why he's called Yeshakel. Because the Creator awakens him, and those who are not awakened are not called Yeshakel, Israel.
So when we're talking about the Creator choosing the people of Israel. He just created them that way. Yeah? They were born with that quality of being the conduit.
Yeah, the uppermost layer out of the corrupt desire, when it awakens, it is called Israel. All the rest behind it.
So Israel, if reality is this big machine, Israel is a piece of the machine that has a certain role.
Has a role to be as close as possible to the reforming light, called reforming light or the Torah, and by that to awaken and show everyone how and what to do. You know, the other parts are heavier parts. That's why it says wisdom believe in the nations of the world. There's a great deal of wisdom in them. It just hasn't been awakened. We'll see how, to what extent the nations of the world are the wise ones and not us. For the time being, it doesn't show because we are awakened by the reforming light, this layer of ours. But when the rest, the other layers of the Kli, of the general soul will begin to awaken, you will see what will happen.
Wise in the sense of adhere to the Creator?
No, wise in the sense that they're full of the light of Chokhmah, wisdom. They invite that light. We'll talk about it later. What am I trying to say? Everyone has a role, and for everyone the role is one and the same, because everything was created out of this incorporation, integration. And all that matters here right now is the order, what comes first, what comes later. But the role itself, the job of drawing the light and participating in connection and the revelation of the Creator, ultimately it appears and it obligates everyone.
No, Meyer.
So in fact, as much as you want it and as much as you try to feel it, this quality of the Creator in you, as much as you try to integrate with the group, if you don't have that quality that the friend mentioned that you were born with,
if you don't have this quality, you don't want it.
Yeah, but a moment ago you said that Israel were born with a certain... we're created with a certain quality.
Israel is a person, a man, who has a tendency, an inclination, a tendency to discover the Creator as his root.
Okay, now...
because without that, it can't answer the question, why am I alive?
Right, so if you want that quality, but you don't have that root...
how do you want it if you don't have the root? I don't understand what you say. Do you understand what you're saying or not? If you don't have that root, then you don't have that question. You see, people... what do you want to get out of life? Money, honor, power, knowledge, doesn't matter what. But to attain the root itself, the root of reality, the root of life, to be above life, no. No. They don't have it. He's somewhere between an animal and a man, and he's satisfied with that. So what do you want? Israel... it means that they have a vicious desire.
Why am I asking? I'm trying to feel this quality.
You don't have this quality. Calm down. Relax. You're an animal. Look how it influences him. Let's see what you'll do. Let's see your reaction. What are you looking at me for? If you have it, why are you not in the lessons all the time? Why are you not digging in and investing? It's like that. You have to develop that desire. It's given. We're given only the starting point, the seed. The rest depends on man. You must ignite yourself and turn yourself on until you light up, you burn. That's the main thing. The Creator gives. But In truth, there isn't a person alive in the world that doesn't receive an awakening. Once you, after you die, you'll get to the courthouse, and you say, "I did not receive an awakening," and they'll show you a little clip from your life where that you did receive. You received it, and you didn't respond. What will you say then? They'll also show you a clip from this lesson. That's how it is. Moscow.
В шестом пункте Баальсулам вводит понятие слияния двикут.
In item 6, Баальсулам talks about the concept of adhesion, двикут. Maybe you can explain in more detail what Баальсулам means when he uses this word. Maybe we should read it again, the item, and explain it again. The text is not very clear.
He cannot explain here adhesion in one item out of this short article. Adhesion means that a person receives the qualities of the Creator, and that's why out of that he becomes like the Creator. He understands him, he feels him, and he is with him in thoughts and in desires as one. This is called adhesion. And there's an entire ladder of degrees to reach that adhesion, from the smallest state, nefesh of nefesh of nefesh, to the highest state called gmar tikkun, end of correction. Those are all degrees of dvikut, adhesion. Adhesion is how much a person becomes like the Creator inside his nature. And that's why he needs to perform a restriction, a screen, reflected light, coupling and striking, all sorts of processes in his desire that develops and grows and appears, and from within it he builds something that is similar to the Creator. That's why it's called Adam, from the word Dome, similar to the Creator. And by that, he becomes adhered to the Creator according to equivalence of form. Okay, Moscow is down. Yep. Okay, Guadalajara.
Guadalajara.
Rab, la pregunta es, ¿cuál debe ser nuestro pensar y preparación antes de entrar a la clase? Ya que de este lado,
what is the thought and preparation that we must do before the lesson? Because when we come to the lesson's already started. How do we need to prepare to be with you and with the whole world together?
Good question. He's all right. Consistent. I don't know what to tell you. I see the lesson as part of life. Just like when you're driving your car and you pull up to a gas station, you have to fill up and continue, and then fill up again, and continue and fill up your tank again and continue. That's how I see it. So you have connections with the friends, the daily article, all sorts of things that you're doing, some connection in the evening, and so on and so forth. And these things, including the lesson, in those things in total aim me through the influence of the reforming light to the group and the Creator. So I see the morning lesson as the greatest means, but in essence I need to build for myself additional points like that, such stations along the way, that I fill myself. That's it.
Kadima.
Let's go.
We're going to continue in the text, item 7. But here came the sages of the Zohar and asked why we were not created in this high stature of Dvekut with him to begin with. What reason did he have to burden us with this labor and burden of creation and the Torah and Mitzvot? They replied, "He who eats that which is not his is afraid to look at his face." This means that one who eats and enjoys the labor of one's friend is afraid to look at his face because by doing so he becomes increasingly humiliated until he loses his human form, because that which extends from his wholeness cannot be deficient. He gave us room to earn our exaltedness by ourselves through our work in Torah and Mitzvot. These words are most profound, and I've already explained them in my book Panim Meirot Umasbirot on the Tree of Life, Branch 1. Here I will explain them briefly to make them understandable for all.
For now, it's not giving us any answers.
Item 8. This matter is like a rich man.
Why did he create us in such a lowly manner? Not immediately, because he's omnipotent. Why didn't he create us in the end of correction right away? If it's good, give us good. Why do I need to take the creature through all those states where he feels himself miserable and poor and as if nothing is left of him? He squeezes the entire soul out of it. Maybe one point remains out of his animalistic creation before he acquires his godly form. What for? Couldn't he have built it in such a way that he had to be in? Right? Oh, the creator is so wise and good, who does good. But according to the process, I can't say that he's doing anything wise or anything out of love. Clear? Niv, can you justify him? Yeah? Always. Sometimes. I don't even know where it is. Sometimes. In truth, I agree with Zvika. You don't have a greater evil than the Creator. Look what he did. Tell me, when do you agree with him? Give me an example from life that you agreed with him. Only in situations where you managed to steal something, lie to someone. In those things, you say, "Oh, thank God." How can it be any other way if you're opposite to him? That's why believers, you see. Let's continue.
Item 8. This matter is like a rich man who took a man from the market and fed him and gave him gold and silver and every desirable thing each day. Each day he showered him with more gifts than the day before. Finally, the rich man asked, "Tell me, have all your wishes been fulfilled?" And he replied, "Not all of my wishes have been fulfilled. For how good and how pleasant it would be if all those possessions and precious things came to me through my own work, as they have come to you, and I would not be receiving the charity of your hand." Then the rich man told him, "In this case, there has never been born a person who could fulfill your wishes.
Because even if you fulfill him all the way, he wants to be without deficiencies and receiving for the, those deficiencies. He wants to be ahead of time, full and rich in advance. Let's say if I were born a son of a king, would I have any deficiencies? No. Would I have any riches? Of course. So why do I have to, first of all, be me and suffer like that prince in the basement? And then I come, and maybe by which kind of searches and sufferings and torments to come to a state where I can receive the inheritance from my father. Why?
It is a natural thing, since on the one hand he experiences greater and greater pleasure the more he showers presents upon him. But on the other hand, it is hard for him to tolerate the shame of the excessive goodness with which the rich showers him.
Because by that he's lowering him, he's making him lower than him. Even if he gives from the bottom of his heart, he is a giver and he is a receiver. So he suffers twice from having nothing, but also when he is receiving, it only serves to highlight his degree compared to the rich one.
This is because there's a natural law that the receiver feels shame and impatience upon receiving gifts from a giver out of compassion and pity. From here extends a second law that never will anyone be able to satisfy the needs of his friend to the fullest, because ultimately he will not be able to give him the nature and form of self-possession, as only with it the desired perfection attained. But this relates only to the creatures, whereas regarding the Creator, it is completely impossible and unacceptable.
He would not feel ashamed when we give him? What do you think? Why is there no shame in him? It's a question. Okay, next.
This is the reason he has prepared for us the toil and labor of Torah and Mitzvot to produce our exaltedness by ourselves, because then the delight and pleasure that comes to us from him, meaning everything that is included in the Dvikut with him, will all be our own possession that has come to us through our own efforts. Then we will feel ourselves as the owners, without which there cannot be a sensation of wholeness.
Meaning we receive an opportunity to build such relationships with the Creator that fill ourselves both in the fulfillment that we're after and also in the feeling that we are the ones who own that fulfillment, and we have no shame in it. On the contrary, we feel honored, and that's the meaning of making up our own exaltedness by ourselves. And that means that we're correcting the bread of shame that changes from a bread of shame. When you give a poor person a piece of bread, we turn it into the world of Insof, pleasures and honor and everything, and not by removing ourselves from the degree of greatness and honor and fulfillment and so on. Clear?
Can I ask a principal question about item 5?
Yep.
In item 5, he writes, first of all, we have to understand why the Torah was given specifically to the people of Israel and not to the whole world.
So the question is simple. Why was the Torah not given to everyone, but only to a part of humanity? That's the first question. Now, if it's for a part of humanity, why? And why specifically to this part? And what is this part special? And what then should this part do? And so on and so forth.
My question is whether the Israeli nation and people of the world are separate people or desires in a single person.
No, it's the desires. Who are the people in the world? Humans aren't nothing. We're talking about desires inside the soul of Adam HaRishon. After the shattering, there is such a layer, a part that is designed, first of all, to receive the corrections and then to bestow those corrections to others. So that part is called Yashar El. It has a desire aimed at the attainment of the Creator. And according to this desire, they are called Yashar El, or Yehudim, Jews, from the word Yehud, unity. That's it. That's why they are the most unique out of all of humanity. But before the Creator gives the method of correction, and specifically to them, there's nothing special in them, and nothing special was revealed in them. Meaning, from the shattering of the vessels, they are such vessels that are closest to correction. Closest meaning the purest, but the instant they begin to receive the light that reforms the Torah, the awakening from the Creator, they become more and more and more different compared to all of humanity, and they become most egoistic because they need to perform the correction. So even in this group, there was the thinnest, purest, finest that answered the invitation of Abraham, and everyone ran to him to connect and ascend, and who wants to attain the Creator, join me. And then when they started to develop, just as the Creator promised Abraham that your seed should be strangers, and they will enter the exile of Egypt and come out of there with great property, and will discover, meaning by this exile in Egypt, they will receive an additional will to receive, a very vicious addition of the will to receive, and from the correction of that vicious desire that doesn't exist anywhere in the world, in any nation, they will correct themselves and come to a kli, to the correction of the soul, part of the soul, the correction of part of the soul between them, connection between them. So they will be as one group, as one man in one heart. And by that, in that, this is called that they're building the temple. And then it's destroyed. And after some additional events, they build the second one that shatters as well, because we need to have two shatterings, Mochin of Chaya and Mochin of Neshama, until everyone will be ready to connect together, everyone, all over humanity and the entire Kli of Adam HaRishon, and then in that to build a general Kli, the general connection between everyone called the general correction of the world or the complete redemption, which is the third temple that will be built in our dates. Okay? Good. Where are we?
To ask in the corrected state, the person from the marketplace, the poor, will he be similar to the rich?
In the corrected state, everyone will be full with their bestowal to the Creator. And they receive only in order to fill one another, meaning the Creator. Because the Creator doesn't exist outside of the Kli. He's inside. I dwell among my people. The Creator is that desire spreads through all the creatures. And when we bestow to another, we say that we bestow to the Creator. And there's no way to differentiate the Creator from the creatures. Rather, the Creator is the sum total of what appears in the creatures and exists only in the connection between the creatures. It doesn't have a personality outside of the connection of the creatures. It doesn't exist. There's no such thing. It's not something that exists in any other way except as a result of connection. The result of connection is called Creator. He will feel who is the Creator and he is above him. A person will feel it this way to the extent that he connects with the others. And in his connection with the others, he discovers this feeling, this destiny called the Creator. The Creator is what appears inside the connection between people as something, as a result of the connection. They reach a state in the connection where they rise above themselves. Everyone rises above themselves. So this rising, this collective rising above themselves will bring them the feeling of the Creator. And this rising has to be, at the very least, from a 10. And the general rising above everyone, they will still be lower than the Creator, right? Rav, they will discover that by connecting between them, they can connect, they can receive in that connection. It means receiving from the Creator. The Creator is the general, the collective, the sum total of their connection. Not that it exists outside of the connection or that they discover anything but the result of their connection. That's why we say, it's said that you have made me. Are they equal to the Creator in equivalence? Rav, when they connect between them, we say that they build him, they make him. And in what they build, they receive from this concept their fulfillment. Meaning, in what are they fulfilled? In building the Creator and bestowing to him. It's like something virtual that doesn't exist. We have made him. And the result of the connection between us, and to that extent only, he exists and we receive from him. Does he exist? He does not exist without the creatures that establish him. But how are they equal to him? They're smaller than him. Rav, no, they're not smaller to the extent that they establish him. They make him. You have made me. There is no creator without a creature. The creature means the 10 in its smallest degree of connection. Okay. This is something we need to understand and think about and talk about. Then we will not make any mistakes.
If the Creator fills up everything, fills up the desire, and he's also the result of connection, then what is the addition that's born if he was created before and then created afterwards. Can I ask again? Should I ask again?
Ask.
If the Creator fills up all the desire,
that which exists as a force, even before the creatures begin to discover him. This is the meaning of Atzmuto, his essence. And what they discover is not Atzmuto. It's called Bore, Bore, come and see. It's not that he exists in some form before the creatures begin to engage in him. We're also confused because of the matter of time, but nevertheless, the Creator with respect to us is Bo'ure, come and see. Before we build him, we can't see him, we can't attain him, he does not exist. What exists is Atzmuto, the force, the primordial force, but without creatures that can perceive him. Also, without creatures, nevertheless, we say it. So there's a gap in perception here.
So the result is with respect to the created being?
Everything is with respect to the created beings. We only speak about the creature, the created being. Behind you.
Rav, I really like the parable with the
question. What you like is not important to us.
He writes here afterwards, if so, no man will be created who can fulfill your wishes. So what does he mean? There is this rich man who brought up the poor and grew his desire, and now he says that
because you can never be in the place of the rich man. You cannot be the first owner of the fulfillment of filling. You remain the receiver. It's secondary.
So what does it mean a man will not be created who can fulfill your wishes?
Because such a thing doesn't exist. You want to be independent of the giver. You cannot be like that. Rather, the method gives a person the ability to be in adhesion, meaning in complete equivalence of form with the Creator. But it's on the condition that you give him an opportunity to build him as the giver and the Creator as a receiver. And you could say, well, how come the Creator doesn't feel shame? Why doesn't he have it? Because he prepared all those vessels for the creatures. So what? The creature doesn't understand that it's a rigged game? No, it's not rigged. It's not rigged. They are in absolute equivalence. And everything.
No. Yeah, you.
Imagine. Oh, you too.
Rav, we are from the Rishon group.
Rishon.
Yes, Rishon LeZion.
Rishon LeZion.
Yeah, Rishon LeZion, here they come. The question is, we have this group who invests their whole soul, all the friends are doing whatever they can, they give their heart, they give their soul. What else are we missing, Rav? What else are we missing?
So why don't we have Gmar Tikkun?
For the Creator to give us the final, correction.
Oh, what are we missing for the Creator to give us? That's what I hear.
No, what else do we need to add so that it gives more power to the friends so they can make a more extended, powerful action?
You're not asking enough. You're not asking enough. He's ready and willing. I know. I have some connection with him. I know what's going on there. He is waiting for you to ask properly.
What do you mean, ask properly?
Ask properly means to ask, you know, to grab him and ask. Like, blah, blah,
blah. Sometimes I feel him and he does this thing to me.
No, you do it to him.
But he does it stronger.
But you do it stronger to him.
But he completely nails me down.
Do the same to him.
I'm just beaten up. No.
You must reach a demand that he will not be able to resist.
How to do it?
How do we say it? They couldn't. In short, you need to ask him in such a way, ask of him in such a way that he won't be able to refuse you.
Me? I'll ask, not in the name of the whole group?
No, no, of course, the group. When I say you, it's the group, it's clear. Otherwise, you're not even turning to him. You're yelling in the opposite direction. The center of the group is the place where you connect together. You come to a state, to such a discernment called the center of the group. That means to be as one man in one heart. And then you demand.
Demand what?
If you have nothing to demand, what are you asking me for?
I do many things.
There's no many things. The true demand is one.
I demand the Creator to give the friends more power to disseminate the wisdom of Kabbalah with greater strength, so it's felt in the people stronger.
You have to check if this question, if this this is such a question that he wants to answer. Maybe not.
But that's basically the role of Israel. That's the goal.
You have to scrutinize it. You're right, but
no. Remy, no, tazov, ata acherim. No, basov.
No. Some announcement.
Yeah, so we have an opportunity next weekend to be as one man and one heart. We want to hear from the Australia group an update about the Asia Congress.
Okay, so say it like that.
Asia.
Asia? About the Congress?
Hello, friends. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? Yep. The update. All our work and our organization is going according to plan. I won't bore you with the details for this, those details of our plan right now, but they are on time, and we expect to have an amazing Congress ready for you on the 7th of December. Friends, my name is Ed. I'm from Sydney, Australia. I am part of the Asia Group. We in Asia are working hard to prepare this virtual Congress in 8 days for the 7th of December. We've got a slogan called Rising from Below. We learn in Kabbalah, the Creator only hears our desires when our hearts are unified in a ten. Friends, we in the Asia Group are stretching our hand out toward you so you might connect with us for this virtual Congress. Together, we'll build a launch pad for the big Congress in Israel next year. Together, we'll build the foundation in faith above reason at the center of the ten. We will create a great desire to have a prayer from the bottom of our hearts to bestow to the worldwide B'nai Baruch group to become a spiritual pipeline for the world. Friends, the Asia Group wants to thank you for this opportunity you have provided us to bestow on the 7th of December for this virtual Congress to help Asia and B'nai Baruch Global Group overcome the distance between us, but most importantly, the distance between our hearts, so that we may become one man in one heart and give the Creator great contentment. L'chaim.
L'chaim.
Especially to Owen. Answer?
Yeah, as part of the global integration, we wanted to mention that on Sunday we have an additional lesson with you and the world Kli. This is from 5 to 6:30 p.m. Israel time. Sunday, we're inviting everyone to send questions. We're expecting this lesson. Also, through the questions, we're getting a certain impression of what the friends want to hear about, what the topic of the lesson should be about. And also, if you have some input on what you'd like to have on coming Sunday, we'd like to hear.
I want to get their questions and follow the questions. It's hard to work not with the general desire. So send questions, we will sort them out, arrange them, and talk about what's important to us most. Maybe some organizational, administrative, personal, group connection between us, attaining the goal, the coming Congress, all those things. So please, send in all your questions. Doesn't matter how correct or incorrect they are for now.
We'll update the same link that was sent last week. It's a link that puts together all of the scrutinies and questions. We invite everyone to send it in whatever language they want, and we'll translate it for you.
And by that,
we have the lesson today at 1 p.m., live lesson with Rav Lightman.
Hold on.
To all their friends here and in the Israeli Kli, as we know, there is a new newspaper, The Nation, and Rana Goel and other guys are waiting for you outside. I'm asking all the tens and all the friends to take the newspaper and disseminate it joyfully. Let's really do good to the people of Israel. And it has wonderful articles by Dudi and his team. Let's make sure it reaches every home in Israel. So at the end of the lesson, the end of the hummus meal, take the newspapers and disseminate them.
I've
said, Agoel, the Savior is already outside. So thanks a lot to the TV viewers and good day. The Kabbalah campus invites you to an introductory event for a course in the wisdom of Kabbalah. Call 1-700-509-209 for details or go to kab.co.il for details. With this we conclude. Good day, great night.
הכל התחיל עוד בבבל נפרדנו כך לכל תבל
חדלנו להבין אחד את השני איבדנו זה את זה וקשר חיוני
חצינו יבשות ומלחמות קשות
עכשיו הנשמות ביחד מממשות
בני שפות אנחנו מקצות עולם הגענו שפתנו היחידה היא שפת האהבה בני שפות אנחנו מקצות עולם הגענו שפתנו היחידה היא שפת האהבה היום כמו חג בישראל
משתוקקים רק להתחבר והתפילה תלך ותתגבר
כי הנרות דולקים בכל הלבבות
עם אש האהבה נדביק את הנשמות
בני שפות אנחנו מקצות עולם הגענו שפתנו היחידה היא שפת האהבה